So we will hear now the proposed second speech of today. This be Giorgio Bobone from the University of Pisa, who will talk to us on Semitic writing in China.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my presentation today will bring us in an epoch quite different for the epoch of the cuneiform characters. I mean, we are going in the Middle Ages, because my field of specialization is Syriac studies. I must specify the title that I used, Semitic Writing in China. It's very broad. I will speak about the use of the Syriac script. I mean the dots that are not the real Nestorian characters. Yes. First of all, the epigraphic material. The oldest document of the use of Syriac alphabet in China is, as you know, the Seal of Xi'an. It's a commemorative text dating back to the 8th century AD. And the main text is in Chinese, indeed. And you may see some Syriac words and a short summary of the text in Syriac in the lower portion of the stele. And this is the most ancient, as I told you. Then we go on with epigraphic material, which is mainly connected to funerary inscriptions. I would like to divide the epigraphic material in three different typologies. The first is the Inner Asiatic typology. I mean gray stones found in Semirechye, that is Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and northwest China, Xinjiang, mostly in the region of Al-Malik, the old Turkic name. Nowadays the name of the city is Huacheng. Those texts are related to the Turkish population of the Karluk. They came from the 13th and 14th century. There are only very short texts in Syriac and in Turkic language. The typology is the following. See, big, or less big, simple stones engraved with a cross and with a text. The text is a funerary. Normally you get the date in the year and so on. This man, this lady was dead. As you see, the direction of the script is vertical and sometimes also horizontal. In the horizontal script, you get the date. Those are very simple stones. These were found in Kyrgyzstan. This one is something more elaborate. So the typology is still very simple, but it looks for some artistic result. Those three stones were found in Al-Malik, Huacheng. As you see, the typology is exactly the same. Two of them, although they're very simple, are some artistic intention. The smallest, the one, is in the Xinjiang Regional Museum. The script is very simple. Only the name of the lady was dead. Elisheba, Elizabeth, Farisa, the girl. Another typology of funerary inscription is found in Inner Mongolia mostly, so I call it Inner Mongol typology. Gravestones from Olonsume, Paigengiao, that is 200-300 kilometers north of Huhot, the capital of Inner Mongolia. And one funerary inscription, only one, from Chefeng, also in Inner Mongolia. The nationality or the ethnics of the people who wrote those inscriptions is the Ungut, I mean a Turkic population, which was strictly related to the Chinggis Khan family. And the date is always of the 13th century. The texts are almost exclusively in Turkic languages, and only a few Syriac words are there. As you may see, the typology is very different. We get some gravestones which have a more elaborate structure. You get there a copy of gravestone which is found in the Museum of the Archaeological Institute of Uhot, and a rubbing of a different one. You get maybe some 100th of those inscriptions in Mongolia. Several of them were used by the farmer to improve the strength of the wall of their farm. so you may find just lying in the ground at the corner of the world. But in the same region we find also a different typology. I mean this kind of inscription. I must apologize for the bad quality of most of the picture, but it's difficult to get new picture of those inscriptions. Well, this inscription is theoretically a trilingual, but we will speak about after some moment, because you get always in the vertical form, in to the left a Syriac script, in the center a Uyghur script, and to the right a Chinese text. So it should be a trilingual. Yeah. Yes. This is the, a brick painted with a brush, which was found in Chefeng. It was published by Hamilton and New Ruji in Journal Asiatique. You may see two short portions of the text in the upper part, which are in Syriac, which is just a biblical quotation from Psalm 34:6, and then the text is written in Uyghur alphabet and in Turkic language. The third typology is the South Chinese, according to my classification, of gravestone, which are found in Quanzhou. The date is from the 13th to 14th century. Still the texts are in Turkic languages with short Syriac formal expression. What I mean with formal expression? Simply a date of or a kind of prayer in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and so on. Yes, quality is always bad. I put also an inscription which is not Syriac at all, not Semitic at all. You see on the right a gravestone written in Chinese. You see some small character on the sides, but the basic text is Mongol in the Pakspa alphabet. Because what you get in Quanzhou, I must say that the most part of those gravestones were corrected by the Chinese scholar Wu Wenyang. The book by him was published in 1958, and it was quite recently republished with a new edited edition. You get all the inscriptions. But in Quanzhou you may find inscriptions which are in Syriac, in Turkic, in Mongolian, in Latin, and also in Arabic. So many. This is a more elaborate gravestone, always from Quanzhou. And this is a reconstruction by Wu Wenyang of an altar or tomb or gravestone in which Syriac texts were kept. Of course, we don't get this structure, complete structure, but only fragments of it. It's a reconstruction. Well, a fourth category of epigraphic text, I put a question mark, because really we don't know the meaning of those two blocks. They were found quite near to Beijing, in Fangshan Mountains, in a temple who is called the Temple of the Cross. The connection with the Temple of the Cross, which was a Buddhist temple, to Christianity is questionable. Anyway, in that place were found two blocks with a cross. One of them bears an inscription, which is by the way, identical to the text of the Chefeng inscription. I mean always a quotation of Psalm 34:6. Nowadays, those two blocks are in the Nanjing Museum. They are not kept on exhibition. They are in the storehouse. Another typology of epigraphic Syriac script evidence is the graffiti. I mean a document that somebody was there. You may find two Syriac inscriptions in the Baitar in Ohot. Baitar is from the Liao Tohuan dynasty, so it is quite easy to date those two graffiti in the Yuan epoch. You have here only one of the two, because honestly I was not able to find the second. But happily, Professor New Yuji found it. The text is in Turkic, not in Syriac, but the character, the script is Syriac. In this case, the translation should be, this is the signature, question mark, of Marsargis the priest. Marsargis is a common name for Syriac priest. You get the name Marsargis also in the Heian inscription. Manuscript. So you know that a lot of manuscripts were found in Chinese Turkestan, in Xinjiang, in past centuries. Several of them are, Berlin, Turfan-Forschung is the institution who studies those manuscripts, also in Paris, also in Russia, in St. Petersburg. Mostly there are fragmentary manuscripts from Turfan, Karakoto, Tunhuang, and Beijing. They date from the 9th to the 13th century. The content is almost, in every case, biblical and liturgical. The language is Syriac, but we have also Turkic and several Sogdian texts, written always on paper. By the way, we have also a Judeo-Persian text, written in the Hebrew alphabet and other documents, written in several other alphabets, like Brahmi, Sogdian, Manichaean, and so on. It is worthwhile to note that the oldest evidence of Nestorian liturgical books is just found in two manuscripts found in Turfan, which are kept nowadays in the Berlin Staatsbibliothek. So if you look to the oldest evidence of Nestorian liturgy, you may go in Central Asia, in China. Even nowadays, the texts are kept in Europe. Some manuscripts are of special interest for my topics today. I mean, the first is Manchester, John Ryland's library, manuscript Syriac 4. It was written in Beijing. We know that because there is explicit written in the colophon. In the 18th century, quite recently, you see. But it was copied from an exemplar dating back to the 8th century, because the scribe has copied also the colophon with the date of the manuscript. The text is in Syriac. It's quite a big manuscript, maybe more than 80 folios. The structure of the book is completely Chinese. It's a paper book put together in the Chinese way. The content are almost all the prophetical books and some liturgical texts. A second manuscript, which is very important, but unfortunately nowadays nobody knows where it is, was published by Taylor in 1941. Manuscript found in Beijing about 1925. It was found with other material during repairs made in the Woman Gate in the center of Beijing. Present location, we don't know, I told you. It is maybe from the 13th century. It's a small evidence because there are only four paper leaves, and it is possible to understand that it was a portion of a liturgical book. Another manuscript which was published in 2000, so recently, by the Chinese scholar Tuan Jin, is Dunhuang Museum, manuscript B, Bay 53-14. It means that it is the 14th manuscript found in Mogaoku, the caves of Mogao, close to Dunhuang, in the cave number 53. According to Duanjing, it could be dated to the 13th century. Only one leaf, a bifolio, it's a part of Syriac Ferial Breviary, liturgical book, and it contains text from Psalms, quotation from Psalms. Another manuscript which is of importance for my argument is kept in St. Petersburg, Library of the Oriental Institute, fragment from Turpan, only one folio, 13th century, perhaps, a leaf from a Syriac liturgical book. Then a very special manuscript. Why? Because it is kept in Vatican City, because it is a complete manuscript, and moreover because it is the only Syriac manuscript that we know, which is made in quite a Eastern way. I mean, it is written with gold ink. The complete text of the four Gospels is written in gold ink on dark blue paper. The paper is so dark that some people who studied it said it was black. But trust me, I've seen it several times, it's blue. Yes, maybe in the picture it's not so easy to understand if black or blue are concerned. Well, this book is connected to China just because in the colophon we get a lot of many historical data of relevance. It was written for the princess Sarah, called Ereğul, which gives some problem for etymology, because in Turkic Ereğul means the son of the strong man, which seems to be a strange name for a lady. But I will not speak about languages. We will speak only about script today. She was the sister of George in Syriac Gevargis, king of the Ungud. We'll talk about the Ungud because the epigraphic evidence from Inner Mongolia is just related to the Ungud people. King George of the Ungud is known because Marco Polo speaks of him, because the Persian historian Rashid ad-Din speaks of him, and so on. The King George was also called Gao Tang Wang. It was a Chinese title he received from the Khagan, from the great Khan of the Yuan dynasty. So there is maybe a relation with this manuscript and China, because according to the colophon, it was made just for an Ungud princess. Nevertheless, the manuscript was found in and described by scholars the first time in 1907, and it was found in the Diyarbakır in Turkey. So we may wonder if the manuscript was written in Inner Mongolia and then brought to the West, let's say, or if the princess of the Ungud people asked somebody in the West, in Mesopotamia, to write it for her. I think that a close exam of the script should help us to give an answer to this problem. How much time? 6 minutes, yes. So, this is the Syriac script. The script used by Syriac in this form, which is standardized according to typographic characteristics, are called Estrangeiro, from the Arabic definition, Satringiria, the script of the Gospel, Certo, and Nestorian. We may wonder why the Syriac script was used in Inner Asia and China. I think that the answer could come out from the two bilingual or trilingual inscriptions that are found in China. As you see, again, we see the same inscription we have seen beforehand. Well, the scripts are three: Syriac, Uyghur, and Chinese. But the texts are two. I mean, the text written in Syriac script is in Turkic, and it is almost the same phrasing of the Turkic text written in Uyghur alphabet, and of the Chinese one. The other inscription is from Yangzhou, dated 1371. It is called trilingual by scholar who published it, but I don't agree, because what you get in Syriac is only a formula, in the name of God and so on. So I think that the meaning of using the Syriac was just to show their ethnic and religious appartenance for the people. I mean, they were not able to speak Syriac, but they used it to show that they were connected to the Nestorian or Jinjiao religion. A fixed scribal tradition. Well, what is quite interesting is that about the Turkic languages, the orthography that we found from Inner Asiatic typology till to Chuanzhou, from South China to Kazakhstan, is absolutely consistent. The character, which is marked with the red circle, is the only one which was invented, produced for a specific Turkic phonetic sound. I mean, it's possible to use the alphabet of Syriac, the script of Syriac, for the Turkic languages without making so many changes. And, for instance, the initial rules are written always in the same way. And it is consistent also the use of the emphatic sod for the Turkic palatal ch, which is quite interesting, because in the West, I mean in Mesopotamia, in Near East, when Syriac is used to write down Turkic languages, it is not the sod, but the shin, used for ch. Well, the typology of the script of the Shi'an inscription is the older, I mean the estrangelo, the script of the gospel. You may see on the left a portion of the Shi'an inscription, and on the right a portion of a gospel book written in Mesopotamia in the 16th century, maybe in 586, exactly. They look very similar. Of course, Shi'an is on stone and the other is on parchment. A mixed script used in epigraphy and manuscript, you see that, I have compared the Fangshan and Chifeng inscription because the text is almost the same, and the form of the letter Tau, which is in the second word starting from the left, is different, but it is quite acceptable. So the estrangelo is attested in the Shi'an inscription, and in the manuscript and the epigraphy you find a kind of mixed style of character. A facsimile script, this is the manuscript copied in the 18th century, Manchester, John Ryland's Library, Syriac 4. It looks quite a good estrangelo, but just because the scribe, who was Chinese and was absolutely unaware of Syriac, was able to reproduce, phototypic reproduction, the old manuscript. Indeed, you see that he left empty the spaces where the manuscript was damaged. It's a kind of xerocopy. Yes, this is a manuscript found in Beijing, but nowadays may be lost. Well, the script is so different from the standard manuscript in Syriac from the Middle East, that I guess that also in this case we are in the same situation that is observed for the Manchester manuscript. I mean, also this one, I guess it was a kind of facsimile reproduction. But I cannot go on in the argument because I cannot see the manuscript. Yeah, this is the manuscript Dunhuang B53, published by Tuanqing. You see that it is quite rich and colorful because some words are in red. And in my opinion, this kind of script is absolutely distinctive for Chinese, for Chinese script, Syriac script, for the use of the Syriac script in China. Because you see that the characters are quite big, the ductus is quite rigid, and there are some letters, I cannot go, not only because of the time, but because it should be a very technical explanation. There are shapes of letters, let's say the glottal stop, Aleph, which are very characteristic of Inner Asian and Chinese text. And also the diacritical dot, which makes the difference between the and r in Syriac, in this manuscript is very, very thin, as it is in the Uyghur manuscript. You see another page of the same manuscript. It was reused. According to the archaeological equipe who studied the manuscript, the paper should be of Western origin. Of course, Western does not mean Europe. It means simply Mesopotamia, or maybe Iran. Nevertheless, I'm sure that it was written in China. Because if you compare this manuscript, Dunhuang, with the Turpan, with the fragment from Turpan, which is kept in the library in St. Petersburg, as you may see, I think, you said the characters are not maybe exactly the same, but they are very similar. So I would propose that we may identify a specific Syriac script which was used in China and in Inner Asia. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this very informative talk, and I think we should take time for one or two short questions.
Yes, of course. Yes, I can speak only about script because of the topic of the conference and because of my ignorance in history of art. But there are several studies about the crosses. Mostly they are related to the evidence in Quanzhou because the typology is much richer. So I would advise you to look to the book of Wu and Yang because it is very rich indeed. And there is a meaning, of course. There are crosses coming out from a lotus. And everywhere, from Inner Asia to Quanzhou, the typology of the crosses is very, it's very varied, I mean. And the four braces of the cross are never identical. One of them is always longer with some elaborate construction. Also, in the very simple gravestone from Semirece, the first I showed, you see that there is a kind of elaboration. They don't reach, if not very rarely, the elaboration of the lotus flower, but they are nearby. Yeah. Yes. 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 In fact, I think that the problem must be studied in the field of the, how to say, the way in which the Christian Nestorian missionary were presenting Christianity, and this topic is very evident in the Chinese text from the Tang epoch. Not so much in dust stones, because you see they are written by people who are of Turkic stock, and they were speaking Turkic. We don't have religious text written in the Yuan epoch, but from the Tang epoch we have, and as far as I know, just 1 year ago, a Chinese gravestone was found in Luoyang. It was published just in 2006, and the text is in Chinese. And also the cross and some decoration are to be found in it. Yes.
Thank you again very much. And